Hi, my name is Dylan Raymond, and this is Policy Streams. I talk to people all over the world to hear their life stories. Today, I am talking with Bernard Min. First thing, Bernard, thank you so much for making the time to chat with me today.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to have a chat with you too, and just share whatever questions you have with me and then kind of answer them as best I can.
Bernard was a public policy student here at the National University of Singapore. What is interesting about Bernard is that he is a third culture kid. He was born in Myanmar, spent some time in Cambodia, but then migrated to Australia, where he spent a substantial amount of time, where he did his undergraduate degree and worked for a number of years. However, Bernard has opted to go back to Asia. And what's interesting is often you hear about people migrating to Western countries from Asian countries, but seldom do you hear stories of people migrating back to Asia. And so, Bernard, tell me a little bit about this.
Yeah, I think it's more who I am as a person, how I identify myself. So I was born in Myanmar. When I was a couple of months old, my whole family migrated to Cambodia. And this was in 1991. So the reason why this happened was in Myanmar in 1990, there was a general election. The democratic side won under Aung San Suu Kyi, who was the leader of the party. And it's a bit of deja vu to what's happening today. The military kind of just nulled the election results and took over the country again. Mm-hmm. And that's prompted their reason for moving away from Myanmar. And the best way they did that was to migrate to Cambodia. As an infant, I grew up in Cambodia for 10 years. And after Cambodia, my dad had an opportunity to actually go to Australia. I was 10 at that time. When we lived in Australia for 5 years, so we were there from 2000 to 2005, 2006. Mm-hmm. And then my dad got an opportunity to go to Myanmar, back to my motherland where I was born. When we moved to Myanmar, I would have been 14 or 15 at the time. And I fell in love with my home country. But I felt so much more at home after living abroad. Being back in Myanmar felt a lot like I could relate to the culture, like relate to the people, because I could speak the language as well. Mm-hmm. But deja vu happened again in 2007 and even 2008 under Saffron Revolution. And that's when my parents were pretty clear to me, saying, once you graduate high school, you go to university in Australia, you stay there, you grow your life in Australia. So I graduated high school in 2010, and as my parents wanted, I moved to Australia, did my undergrad at the University of Melbourne, graduated, and then started off my career.
Okay. So you've just now done your degree, and you started work now in Australia. So, Bernard, what changed for you? What made you decide that, hey, I want to go back to Myanmar?
Even though I worked in Australia and I had been there for 6 years, in the backdrop, Myanmar was starting to change, right? In 2011, they went through a democratic transition. They held an election in 2016. And this time in 2016, Aung San Suu Kyi won, and the military generals did not overturn the results. They decided to honor it. So then her party began to take lead. That kind of spurred a desire in me to be part of that change in Myanmar, because I grew up there. I felt kind of a lot more connected to my homeland in that sense. So that kind of made me think, okay, if I want to go back to Myanmar, or at least contribute to some positive development in the country, or at least in the region, I better do a degree in the region.
My question sort of leads to, well, I've got two questions. Let's talk a bit more about now, because and as you mentioned, this February in Myanmar, there's been a repeat of events, the coup. How does this play out for you?
It took a very big hit for me, the events of the 1st of February coup, and then what's happened after. Even the current trajectory is not hopeful for the country. I think it's going to get worse as well before it gets any better. And it's heartbreaking when that happens, because you left what you had, and I left that behind in Australia with the hopes of pursuing something for positive change in Myanmar. And when you kind of have that snuffed out away from you, it's kind of like, well, how do you pick yourself up from that? The way to think about it is you can contribute more to support your community and your people back home in Myanmar from abroad than you can from inside the country. And that's the way I saw it. Even though it was tragic, you can't just lose all hope. I think there's always a way to respond and try work with what you've got.
But for you to hear that, look, you've made this big life change, which is leaving Australia behind and relocating with the pursuit of making a positive change in your motherland, and then for that not to seem like it may not happen for a very long time, how'd you handle it? I mean, you're obviously very calm and collected now when you talk to me, but how was it when this all transpired?
I struggled a lot. It was very heartbreaking. I'm somewhat of a more outgoing-ish social person. I like to interact with people, but I think I kind of cooped myself up in my room for a good couple of weeks. I just didn't want to see anybody or talk to anybody. I would say I cried a lot to myself at that time as well. It hit me pretty hard. I think it hit a lot of my fellow Myanmar classmates pretty hard as well in the school. And it still continues to hit them hard because for some people it impacts them a lot more than than me, because I don't have as strong of a connection to Myanmar because I didn't grow up there. But for the ones who came from Myanmar, were born in Myanmar, have continued family and very strong connections to Myanmar, it hits them even harder. So I think my struggles are not anywhere near as some of the other kind of classmates in the school have as well.
Let's go back a little bit to identity. How do you feel in terms of nationality wise? What do you identify with? Did you ever have questions of questioning your identity, like growing up in Australia, being in Cambodia?
All the time, Dylan. Like, I still don't know how to answer that question. Anytime somebody asks where I'm from, and I know I'm not going to see this person again, I just say I'm from Canada, right? It kind of explains sort of my accent. You know, there's a lot of Asians in Canada, right? So, and I know I'm never going to see them again. And that just, you know, it answers them pretty quickly. And they're like, oh, that makes sense, right? And they don't ask any more questions. I remember I did this once when I was in Tasmania. I was with my family. And when we went up to the mountains, and I was driving up to the mountains, but I got lost along the way. And I asked a park ranger. I was like, oh, we're here to go snowboarding, right? And I don't know how to get up to the mountain. So I asked the ranger. And the ranger's like, oh, yeah, just go up this way, turn left there. By the way, where are you guys from? And I was like, oh, we're from Canada.
Yeah.
And I was like, and you came to Tasmania to snowboard? And I was like, yep. So, I've been caught in situations like that before. But yeah, on the identity question, I've never, it's hard to answer that, because in Myanmar, even though I was born there, once I'm there, I'm seen as a foreigner. When I'm in Australia, I don't quite feel like I'm at home either. And I don't necessarily feel like I quite belong anywhere, but in a way that can be a positive thing as well. It's like, well, in a way I can sort of fit in anywhere.
No, I completely get it. So on the whole, what are your thoughts towards Asia? And I don't say Myanmar specifically, because you've actually now, obviously, you've been around quite a bit. You grew up in Cambodia, you spent time in Myanmar, now you've spent time here in Singapore. What are your thoughts towards Asia versus Australia, or Asia versus the West?
I think for me, I probably feel more Asian than Australian. Because even though I've spent most, so Australia is the most time where I've collectively spent. I've spent 14 years in Australia. No other country have I spent longer than that anywhere else. But then collectively, I've spent 16 years in Asia. So I think just by cutting the pie, I'm more Asian than Australian based on how long I've lived across the world.
Yeah. But is the identity question for you, do you think it's relatively settled? Because I imagine there must have been a point in your life where you were wrestling with, well, what am I? What's my identity? But now for you, is it relatively settled? It's not a burning issue for anymore.
In terms of connection, I think I feel most connected to Myanmar, right? Although, even though I've never worked locally in the country, I still have this sense of connection, because I feel that once I do, if I do work in Myanmar, the glass will break and I'll realize, actually, I don't feel at home here either, right? Because people will see me as a foreigner in a way. So I don't know that yet, right? Even though I feel really closely connected to Myanmar, do I have a Myanmar identity? I'd like to think so. But yeah, I think I still struggle with what my identity is. To be honest, I don't know if there's a surefire way to figure out when I will have that settled. I've never had it settled, to be honest.
Really, really tough questions I asked you. I guess one thing, the way I always sort of end these sort of things is I always ask, if you were to come across someone who's in your shoes, similar situation, which is a third culture kid trying to find their identity, what advice would you give? What guidance would you give from your knowledge that you've gained to them?
I think you can look at it in a certain way of saying, well, I don't know where I am from. I don't know if I have an identity, and you kind of struggle with yourself with that. But I think there's always a positive spin to things. So as a third culture kid, what actually that exposes you to is a lot more ability to connect with various cultures, with various different identities. And it's an ability and a trait to have that you can use to your advantage to fit in wherever you go and to connect with the people that you meet wherever you are. And I think having that mindset can put you a bit more in a positive space when you think about your identity.
Final question to ask you. You've just actually now finished the Master of Public Policy at the National University of Singapore, and you graduated only a couple of weeks ago. So you finished it with the second year of COVID. I wanted to ask, what are your thoughts now on the Master of Public Policy program now that you've finished it?
I've thought a lot about it, especially after graduating, just more like, okay, reflecting, being a bit more retrospective about, okay, how was my time there? Because I think that there's a lot of times when I really enjoyed it, and there was a lot of times where I also felt frustrated. But on the whole, I feel like it was actually a really good experience for me, and I felt like I made the most out of it, and I wouldn't take anything back to for over the last 2 years. I think I'd made the most out of the degree, and I'm really happy that I did it.
Bernard, it's been a really insightful discussion with you today to talk about why you left your country and why you decided to go back, and to get your thoughts on how you felt about the Master of Public Policy program. So it's been really insightful. I just wanted to say thanks again for making the time.
No, I'm really, really glad to talk and just share about myself more personally as well. Thanks for that.